Now today in your Bibles, I'm looking in the 27th Psalm. If you'd like to follow with me, you can open your Bibles to the 27th Psalm, and I want to read verse number 1. Psalm 27, verse number 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Our fathers, we come today to deliver this important message. I pray you'll help us in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now we come to Psalm 27, and the psalmist is, this is a dual psalm. The first six verses is talking about praising God, and then the last verses are talking about, the sorrow or whatever. But the first verse here, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Now, we begin to think about all that God is, and I can't preach on all that today, but I want to give you a few things today and preach on this subject, the Lord is. The Lord is. And just give you a few things that the Lord is today. I'm glad He is God, ain't you? I'm glad He's on the throne. Amen. And as we look at this today, as we get into this, we see, first of all, He said, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. Now, verse number one of Psalm 27, the Lord is my light. What does that mean? Well, God is illumination. God is the one that gives you light. If you study 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14, you will find that God, through the Holy Spirit, enlightens us, the believers, in the Scriptures. Now, the Bible said the Lord not given us the spirit of the world. We don't have that. We don't have man's thoughts. We have God's, you see. And so the world looks at things much differently than, the believers do, okay? The world, I'll give you one illustration. The world's looking for world peace. Now that's not gonna happen until the Antichrist comes and gives a false peace. And then Christ is gonna come 7 years later and start the 1,000-year millennial reign. And there'll be peace. But, you see, the world has a different philosophy. And the world does not know the Bible. The world cannot know the Bible. If you run upon a non-believer, a non-Christian, somebody who's never been born again, and they say to you, oh, I understand the Bible. Well, there's not a word of that true. They cannot understand the Bible. The Bible said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. What I'm doing right here today is foolishness to the world. Somebody would tune me in on the radio, an atheist, an unbeliever, and they'd say, that man's foolish. I mean, he's just spending his time for nothing. He's just yelling and screaming about something about God, and he's just wasting his time. Well, you see, I look at it a different way. The world is wasting their time today. If you're doing things of the world, you're wasting your time. And, you know, sometimes people will die, and they'll talk about how good they were and how many deeds they did. But let me say this to you, friend, that's a waste of time if they're not born again. I think about sports stars and people, and some of them live to be 80, 90 years old. And when they die, they talk about what a good person they was, what they accomplished in the sports world and all that may have its place. But let me say to you that the only thing that matters is, have you been born again? The Lord is our light. Now, Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, who's going to open your eyes to the Word of God? God is. God is the believer's light. Jesus is my light. I learn from the Holy Spirit. I learn from Him. Now, if we get the Bible and we'll pray over Scripture and we ask the Lord, He will teach us. Let me just give you a few things about the Lord being my light. First of all, He's the light of my faith. And that speaks of my salvation. You see, there was a light that shined to me when I got saved by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit led me to that light. He convicted me of my sin. And as He convicted me of my sin, when I got saved, God began to show me things. Now, I didn't know anything before I got saved. I think I might have known John 3:16. I think that's the only verse that I really knew, could quote, I'm talking about. I didn't know anything about God. I mean, I knew a little bit about how church operated. My family was in church. But what I'm saying to you is this, my friend. God began to illuminate. As I began to grow in the Lord, as I began to learn, God is the light of my faith. By the way, God through the Holy Spirit is the one that brought me to Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, through the Holy Ghost of God convicted me. God brought me to Christ. He was my light. There was a light that shined on me from God. Remember what Paul said? He was on the Damascus Road, and there was a bright light that shined to him. Now, let me say this. I didn't see a vision or a dream when I got saved, but I'm talking about spiritually, God turned the light on. Have you ever been in a dark room and all of a sudden the light got turned on? Amen. God is the light of my faith. You know, my family in 1975, you hear me talk a lot about it. We were not in church. We didn't know anything about church. I mean, you know, on Sundays it was the car race, drinking beer, for my daddy or whatever, riding across the mountains or whatever. I mean, Sundays were just any other day to us. But brother, when we got saved, all of that changed. Praise the Lord. All of that changed. Amen. Thank God that it did. It began to be church. And I remember sometimes daddy would go, sometimes he wouldn't, but mama would be faithful to the house of God. Amen. So the Lord is the light of my faith. Then let me say the Lord is the light of my fruit. After I got saved, I began to grow. That speaks of my growth. Now, the Lord shined the glorious light of the gospel on me and made me realize I needed to be saved. That was God that did that. That's the Holy Spirit that drove me to salvation. And then after I got saved, I began to learn about the Bible. Now listen, I believe a man changes instantly when you get saved, but there are things you've got to grow about. There are things when you first get saved you don't understand. You're a babe in Christ, and God shines His light on you. God's allowed me to sit under some of the greatest men that ever preached. God's allowed me to listen to some of the greatest men that ever held a Bible. God has allowed me to have good friends and good preacher friends and allowed me to grow. I'm a country boy. I do not glory in ignorance. To my shame, I did not complete high school. Now, that's to my shame. Nobody else's shame. That's my shame. All right? But when I got saved by the grace of God, God began to enlighten me in the Word of God. I didn't have the chance or the privilege to go to Bible college like some have. Now let me say this about that. I'm no worse off because I didn't go to Bible college. Somebody said, well, Catherine's ignorant because he didn't go to college. Well, no. It's not whether you go to college or not. It's whether you have the power of the Holy Ghost upon your life and the touch of God. You may have the Lord living in you, and He dwells in you, but is He controlling you? And so, I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want the touch of God. I want the filling of the Holy Spirit upon my life when I preach. I want the anointing of God upon me when I preach. And so, we see today that God is the light of my fruit. God, by the way, you know, it takes light for a fruit to grow on a tree. Did you know that? Did you know plants require sunlight? They sure do. You plant a seed, a tomato plant won't grow in a dark room. No, sir. But you plant it outside, give it plenty of light, give it plenty of sunlight. I always like to plant my things in the garden where they'll get plenty of sun, and brother, they'll begin to grow. Amen. God is the light of my fruit. He's the light of my faith. Then let me say this to you. God is my light. He's the light of my footsteps. And that has to deal with my path. God is my light. He's my light in my footsteps where I travel. Now, Psalm 119, you've heard me quote this many times, 105. He said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The late Dr. Jack Hudson said, that'll tell you where you are and where you're going. Amen. God is the light to my footsteps. There are times in life I don't know which way to go. And yet the Holy Spirit reveals to me through the word of God what I ought to be doing. You've heard me say this many times. The Holy Spirit will never lead us contrary to the Holy Scriptures. And our light, amen, in our life, God will guide our footsteps if we stay with the Lord. Now, some people may want God to guide them in life, but they don't want to be submitted to God. Well, God's not going to guide you if you're not submitted to Him. But you know, I can look back on my life and providence has played a great part in my life. Now, there's no such thing as luck. I want you to understand that, okay? Somebody says, well, good luck to you. No, it's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as that. But there is providence of God. And many times I've seen God just fix everything and lead me in a path that I've seen God through providence keep me out of trouble. I mean, my footsteps, you know, the Bible said, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. There's been many times my feet just about got in the net. I just about made a mistake. But God reached down through providence and plucked me out. Amen. The light shone just in time of God's word and God's way to my life. So the Lord is my light. Amen. He's my light in my faith. He's my light in my fruit. He's my light in my footsteps. And then he's my light in the fiery trials. The Lord is my light. Now listen, let me say this to you. God does not have to explain things to me and you. He don't have to. God, you know, we sing the song, we'll understand it better by and by. Well, we may and we may not. When we get to heaven, God don't have to show us anything that happened on earth. Amen? God does not have to answer the question why. He don't have to. Now, I try never to ask God why. I try never to. I probably have in my lifetime. I try never to. But let me say this to you. It is God's business what he does in our lives. There are things that I do not understand. There are certain sicknesses that have fallen upon people that I don't understand. But let me say this to you. God understands that. God is the light. And even in our own trials, God will give you the light a lot of times while you're going through that. It may be after the trial is over, but God through the Bible will show you. Now, it is important if you're going through a fiery trial, if it's a trial of the devil, it is very important that you stay with God and stay with the Bible and stay in prayer. It's very important that you do that. Now, our first tendency is to quit. We quit praying. We quit reading our Bible. We quit going to church. That's our first, the first instinct of a human is to quit, is to back up. But God wants us to go forward. Do you remember the children of Israel? And it had to be a terrible a sight. You remember they were standing at the Red Sea. And Pharaoh and his army, they thought they were rid of Pharaoh. And they looked behind them. And, of course, there was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And it separated them all night long. But they looked, and here came the Egyptians. And no doubt the hearts of those Israelites failed. Now, before we judge them real quick, I mean, we would do the same thing. And yet Moses told them to stand still. And then the next thing he said, God told them, said, go forward. Now, sometimes it is hard to go forward when the battle is on, right? It is hard. It's hard to preach. Sometimes it is hard for me to continue. Sometimes hard for you to continue. When the devil is breathing down your neck and whispering in your ear, well, there's no need in doing that. There's no need in preaching. There's no need in telling people anymore. Nobody's listening to you. Nobody cares anymore. But, you know, I found that that's not true. I found that there is an audience of people that will listen to Bible preaching. And brother, let me say to you, God is the light in our fiery trial. He may not give you everything about that trial, but God will show you things about that trial. You let God do it. Let the Bible do it. And God will show you things. He's your light. The Lord is my light. He's my light in my faith, my fruit, my footsteps, my fiery trial. He is the light, my light in my failures. Many times I fail. Many times I mess up. Many times I make mistakes. Do you ever do that? Of course you do, right? We all make mistakes, don't we? Amen? But you know, the Lord is my light even in those mistakes. I mean, listen, friend, many times I'll have failures and then God will show me why I failed or I can learn something. Let me say this to you. You're going to fail. There's going to be days you won't pray. There might even be a time you miss a church service. I hope you don't, but there might be a time you do. There might be a time you miss reading your Bible. I hope you don't, but probably you will. Now, you know, here's the thing about it. We preachers, and I've been guilty, we condemn people, but we're all flesh. Now, I'm not excusing that. But Paul said, in my flesh, he said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Brother, the longer I live on the face of God's earth, the more I realize this flesh is wicked. And bless the day when I am free from this flesh and the bonds of this earth is broken and I'm in the presence of the Lord. Now you say, preacher, are you ready to die? I'm ready. I don't want to die today. I'd like to stay around a while for my wife's sake and for my work's sake and help some people. But as far as Ricky Cawthorn's concerned, the more I live, this flesh is wicked as the devil, and I'm ready to get out of here. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I mean, if the Lord would come today, I'm ready to go in the presence of God. I'm ready. I know there's a home waiting on me on the other side. This world's not my home. I'm like that dove that Noah put outside the ark, and it roamed to and fro, amen, and the dove couldn't find no rest for his soul, and it came back. Amen. I find no rest in this world. I find no peace in this world. I find no comfort in this world. I have no hopes in this world of this thing getting any better at all. Our nation has just gone downhill. I mean, brother, our nation ain't where it was 50 years ago. And if God don't soon return in the next 25 years, we're going to be a third world country. We're going to be starving. Our money is going to be no good. You may not believe that, but materialism is going to be the end of America. The almighty dollar, I mean, the drugs and all this is taking over. And we can't see that the communists have slipped all this in here. These other countries have put all this in here to bring our nation to its knees. And it's coming, brother. Somebody said, we got the greatest military in the world. Well, I was praying about that this morning. I was praying for the military. And I told the Lord, I said, God, I know that we're strong, but we can't do anything without you. We may have all this military might, but unless God helps us, it'll be in vain. Some other country will take us over. And Nikita Khrushchev made the statement over 50 years ago, we'll take America without ever firing a shot. And they're doing it, brother. They're doing it. And so I don't know what's going to happen in this world. I know what's going to happen to the church. I know we're going to leave here one of these days. But God is my light, amen, in my failures. I fail many times. I do things I ought not do, say things I shouldn't say. But God is my light. He showed. And by the way, when you fail, don't be the victim, but learn from your failures. Learn from them, all right? Learn from your failures. Can you do that? When you have a failure, learn from it. Amen. All right. Now, number two, not as the Lord is my light, but he said in this verse, he said, my salvation. All right. He said, in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light. He said, and my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. That word really means deliverance. The Lord is my salvation today. I can glory in the fact that the Lord is. He's my light. He's my salvation. Amen. I have nobody else to glory. Nobody else could do for me what Jesus did. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Now, he's my salvation. Number one, he's my salvation from hell. Amen. Do you know that the Bible said, he that believeth not is condemned already? Now, the devil has passed this lie off to people. Well, God's too good to send anybody to hell. Now, hold on just a minute. God has dealt with your heart. God sent his son to bleed and die and suffer like no man's ever suffered on the cross of Calvary. And if you reject that, God is just and God is right. Can I defend God for a minute? God is love, but love is not giving you everything you want. When you love your children, amen, and you say, well, I love them, therefore I give them a phone. I give them a gun at 5 years old. I give them a car. No, you don't love them. You're just giving them gifts. Amen. You don't, no. But love is being just and right. God loved the sinner. For God so loved the world. But there's going to come a day God's going to say that's enough. And yes, does God send people to hell? He sure does. And is he just in that? Yes. Ricky Lynn Cothran, when he was born, his soul was destined to go to hell because of the sin of Adam. I was born, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That don't mean that she sinned when she conceived him. What it meant was that he's born in a world of sin. The Bible said that I came forth of my mother's womb speaking lies. In other words, I cried when I really didn't need anything. I mean, listen, I am a sinner. You're never going to get saved until you realize you're the sinner. You're not the victim, you're the sinner. And you have a destiny with hell and the devil. You're going to be in the same hell as the vilest murderer if you don't be saved. Hell will await you. I'll tell you why people's not getting saved in America anymore. We have no preachers raising the roof about hell anymore. Amen. We don't even mention hell in our churches anymore. Well, it's make a decision. No, brother, it's more than making a decision. Amen. I make a decision about what I'm going to eat every morning. I make a decision, amen, my wife does, about what I'm going to wear every day, amen. Amen. I make a decision about which pair of shoes I'm going to put on. I do that part. But let me say this to you, amen, when it comes to salvation, I've had a birth. I've had one I can't remember and one I can't forget. I was born once to die twice and born twice to die once. The first one Mama told me about it, the second one I told Mama about it, amen. Let me tell you something, brother. January 22nd, 1978 is the most important day I've ever had. That's my spiritual birthday. That's when I got delivered. That's when God became my salvation from hell. You see, the Holy Spirit held me out over hell. Old Brother Ed Ballou preached that great message on hell, 1977. I got a hold of that message, and it put me under conviction, boy. And I tell you what, in 1978, in the early part of the year, I knew I was going to hell without God. At 11 years old, I didn't know much, but I knew I was going to hell without God. And God saved me by the grace of God. When I asked Him to save me, He came into my heart that night. I couldn't tell you the words I said. I didn't pray some eloquent prayer, but when I came willing and asked God, God saved me. When I came from the heart, God knew. And my salvation, God is my salvation. I can stand to say I have a Savior today. I've been saved from hell. By the way, I can't go to hell. I can't get lost after I'm saved. I want you to understand that. God is my salvation from hell. And then I want to say this now, even after you get saved, there's some other things now. God is my salvation from men. You know, there's been enemies along the way. There's people that, you may not believe this, but there's people that don't like me. If you're standing for God, those people don't like you. Did you know that? Why, there are some preachers right now, probably if I failed, they'd say, well, we're glad, we knew it was going to happen to Catherine. Let me tell you something, brother. The devil will put a target on your back, buddy. And the devil, amen, he loves it when Christians fall. He really does. That's why we as preachers and deacons and lay members and ladies and young people, we need to be careful that we stay in there for God. Amen. But he's our salvation from men. God will hit you, say, preacher, all the brethren turned against me. I know what it is to feel alone. I know what it is, amen, to be threatened. I know what it is to try to be drove from the ministry. I know what it is. But let me just say something. I don't want to say this arrogantly, but you can't get me out of the ministry because you didn't put me in it. You see, friend, the reason that men does not succeed, if God be for us, who can be against us? There are people that have come against old gospel broadcasting since it's been started, and they thought within their soul there's going to stop the ministry. Now, brother, the day that God wants it stopped, it'll cease. And the day God wants me off the radio, it'll go. It'll be done. But until then, there ain't nothing nobody can do or no demon in hell can do. Amen. As long as God's for you, there's nobody can do anything about it. Amen. God is my salvation from men. I don't live my life thinking about what men think about me. Now, I'm a fundamental independent Baptist. I was saved as a born-again Christian. I became fundamental independent Baptist because I believe we preach the truth. I'm not a Protestant. I didn't come out protesting anything. I'm a fundamental independent Baptist. Amen. I believe that's what John was, the John the Baptist. I believe that's what John the Apostle was. I believe that's what Paul was. And brother, our kind is the original church people. Now, will there be other people saved? Yes, there will be. If you're in another religion and you get saved by the grace of God, you'll go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell, all right? But God is my salvation from men. I don't run in people's camps. I don't run in preacher cliques. I love all preachers that are living right, doing for God. I'm for you. Now, if you're not living right, I hope you'll get right. Amen. But let me say this to you. I don't try to open doors. I let God do that. God can do with me exactly what He wants to. God made me. Amen. God is my salvation and deliverance from men. Now, He's my salvation from hell. He's my salvation from men. May I say he's my salvation from Satan. You see, I have an enemy. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's my enemy. Did you know the preacher's not my enemy? The church down the street's not my enemy. The man that cut my support off, he's not my enemy. The man that said, I'll go off your radio station, he's not my enemy. My enemy is the devil. And I fight him every day. But I tell you, God is my salvation against the devil. I'm not going to come making a railing accusation against the devil. I'm not going to call him all kinds of names and make fun of him. I'm not going to do that. Now, the devil has power. He don't have as much power as God does. But I tell you, if God turns you over to Satan, brother, you'd see some things. Amen. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. He's my salvation from Satan. Satan cannot get my soul. That's been eternally settled with God for 48 years. But let me tell you what Satan can get. He can get my family. He can get my finances. He can get my future. In other words, my ministry. He can get my the things I've worked for all my life. The devil can take that down the drain. The devil can ruin me. The devil can wreck me. The devil can devour me. And I tell you right now, don't you ever think you're exempt from the devil. Don't you think your home, wife, husband, there's nobody listening to me today that's exempt from heaven. That's exempt from the devil. I'm sorry. He's trying to attack my mind right there. Let me tell you something. You may think, the Bible said, he that think he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. Maybe not word for word. But when you try to stand for God, amen, the devil's going to come against you. And you better take heed. You better not think that you're the only one standing. You know, you're one heartbeat away from committing some sin, amen, that'll ruin you. Now, brother, let me tell you, I mean, the devil's on the prowl. The devil's roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He's roaring like a lion. And the devil is real, brother. I realize, amen, you say, well, the devil can't bother me. Well, let me say this to you. If you yield to ungodly temptation, the devil can bother you. There's a man named Demas. And Demas was a saved man. Demas was a Christian. I probably believe Demas was a preacher. And the Bible said, Paul said, one of the saddest verses in the Bible, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now let me tell you, Paul didn't say anything bad about Demas, except for the fact that he forsook him. And why did Demas forsake him? He loved this present world. He got this present world on his mind, in his eyes. And brother, let me tell you something. We can fall into sin. Think about Samson. Samson was a great man. He's in the heroes of faith, but he never was surrendered. His weakness was women, and he basically died because of a woman. Now, brother, the devil knows what your weakness is. The devil goes around like a wolf will do a herd of buffalo. A wolf will come upon a pack of buffalo, a herd of buffalo, and somehow they sense the weaker ones. They sense the one that's sick, or maybe the one ain't got as much stamina, or the one, and brother, they go for that weak one. The devil will go for the weakest person in the church. And the church is only as strong as its weakest link, like a chain. And the devil will go for that one and he'll get them. That's why the devil devours people. That's why there are people listening to me today. You're saved. You're born again. But you're not reading your Bible. You're not praying. You've been out of church for years. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe God let them live that long. Well, there's some people out there that's been chastened. My daddy was beat all the way to the house. He died with three or four kinds of cancer in his body because he wouldn't preach the Word of God. I mean, God bit. I remember one time my daddy told me, years ago, my daddy said to me, son, he said, you live your life and I'll live mine. Brother, when he said that to me, I tell you, brother, he began to go through the fire. And God, which he's already going through the fire, really, had already started with him. He turned God away. He did something in a church one time. And when Daddy did that thing that he did, and I'm not going to say what it was, but he did something one time. And I tried to talk him out of it. I said, Daddy, don't go down that road. Don't do that. And my daddy did. And I tell you, from that point on, God took his hand off my daddy. And God dealt with him and dealt with him, dealt with him. That God was still dealing with him. And when he did that, God, and then God chastened him, took him to the house. Now let me tell you something, brother. God is our salvation against Satan. God's the only hope against Satan. You know how you conquer Satan? You put the scriptures on him. You can only conquer Satan with the Bible. I've often said this. I hope you don't get mad at me. But opening your car door and saying, get out, devil, that is not going to accomplish anything. That may be good preaching. It may get people to shout, but it's not going to accomplish anything. The devil is not a red-suited pitchfork fellow walking around sticking people with a pitchfork and watching them jump. No, sir, the devil is real. The devil wears a three-piece suit. The devil's in the pulpit on Sunday. The devil's on social media. The devil's preaching prosperity Christianity. Why, the devil's in communism. The devil's in liberalism. Why, brother, that's the devil. He's in confusion and division. That's what the devil does. That's where he's at today. God, the Lord is my light. He said, and my salvation. The psalmist said, my salvation, the Lord saved me from hell. The Lord delivered me from men. The Lord delivered me from Satan. The Lord delivers me from trouble. He's my salvation in trouble. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. There's going to be trouble in your life. I've had trouble over the years. You're going to have trouble. There's going to be things come out, and the Lord's your deliverer. The Lord's your way out. Amen. Turn to the Lord. Why, some of you have had a trouble in your life. I'm talking to somebody right now. You got all kinds of trouble. Your wife's left you. You hung on the dope and the bottle. You're sitting there drinking. You're drinking yourself drunk, trying to forget your problem. You're in trouble, friend. You're in trouble. But I tell you, where do you turn? You say, well, I don't want to just get religion. No, I agree with you. Let's don't get religion. If I had religion, amen, I'd trade it for a cat or something, amen. But let me tell you something. Get salvation. Go to God. Lay your troubles out to him. God's the one. By the way, you ain't a sissy or a weakling if you go to God. Why, some of you men think if you turn to God, you're a weak. Let me tell you, our Lord, the Bible said Jesus wept in the Bible. The Bible also said that Jesus hung suspended between heaven and earth and died for your sin. Jesus died for you. My friend, you need to come. You need to let God deliver you from trouble. Why, there's some of you in prison today. You'll never get out of prison. If you do get out, it'll be years for what you've done. You've been in trouble, but you can come clean with God. There's some wife out there. You've messed up and run away from your husband and family, and you're in trouble today. You can get back with God. I don't know if you'll ever get him back or not, but you can get back with God. There's some man, you've left your wife and the children. You're in trouble. You're in trouble and on your job. You're in trouble, but you can get back with God. Let God be your deliverer out of your trouble. There's some of you pastors where you're going through the fire where you are. It's a shame that a pastor has to go through the trouble he does in the church. It's a shame that people will give a pastor as much trouble as they do sometimes. It really is a shame. And those people will be judged, dear preacher, but you stay in there. You realize your hope is God. There's some preachers, I heard about a preacher one time, he's under so much pressure he committed suicide. Why, friend, don't do that. Don't leave that church. Don't walk out of the ministry, fella. That's what the devil wants. Go to God. Spread your trouble. You know Hezekiah had trouble. Old Sennacherib and that crowd came up against him, the Assyrians. They wasn't the ones that were going to conquer Judah. And they wrote that letter, and old Hezekiah went in there and spread that letter out before the Lord. You remember that? Some of you need to get in an altar somewhere. You need to find your altar. If you have to write your troubles down on a piece of paper, write them down and just spread them out before God. And say, God, here they are. I'm in a mess, and I'm in trouble. Boy, how many times have I been in trouble in my Christian life? How many times the old devil come by and men fed and this didn't look right and that didn't look right. But God was my deliverer out of that trouble. I go to the Lord and just present that trouble to the Lord. I've thought about Hezekiah many times. Well, salvation. God's my salvation from hell, from men, from Satan, from trouble. God is my salvation from the test. Sometimes there's going to be tests in our life. You remember old Abraham up on the mountain, don't you? God tested him. All right, and we may talk about that later. I don't know if we get that far in this message, but God is my. You remember what God did? Abraham takes Isaac up there, lays him down, and Abraham draws that knife back, and God said, "Abraham, Abraham." God revealed himself. He became God, Abraham's salvation in the test. Amen. Sometimes God tests his men to see if they'll do things. I've had God put me through some tests. I never forget it. Years and years ago. God said, go down to the local radio station. I want you to get a broadcast on a certain day at 1 o'clock. I said, okay, Lord. I go by faith. I went there, walked in, and I told the man, knew him good, and me and him are friends. I said, need a broadcast. He said, I can't do that. I've got another program on at that time. Boy, the old devil said, well, you made a mistake there. Well, I went home, and God said, no, you didn't. He said, that's just a test. I want to see if you'd do it. I want to see if you had enough faith to go down there and get that program, all right? Let me tell you something. God tests you all your life. By the way, God's not evil when he tests you. You know what I did this morning? I turned this system on before I started to preach anything and tested it. Amen? You test your microphone. You test your recording equipment. Amen? You test. Testing 1, 2, 3. You ever seen people set up microphones and testing 1, 2, 3? You say, I don't see the sense in that. Well, they're making sure it works. Now, God knows what you'll do, but God wants to see what you'll do under pressure sometimes. Amen. He's my salvation from the test. God's test ain't forever. God's not unjust in that. Now, number 6, God is my salvation from taking the wrong turn in life. We've already kind of said that, but boy, how many times have you started to take the wrong turn in life? I remember one time, I didn't have no money hardly. I had enough money to stay on one. I had 2 radio broadcasts. I had enough money to stay on one. And I locked myself in the church. I got on my knees before God. I said, God, I can't stay on both stations. I don't have enough money. Tell me. And yet you ever prayed with your mind pretty well made up? That one station got out pretty good. And the other station didn't get out too good. It didn't get out hardly good at all. And I had my mind kind of made up, and I said, all right, Lord, tell me which one. I said, and I thought, I'll go on that. And the Lord said, hold on. I want you on that one that don't go out too good. And I thought, now, Lord, I need to be over here on this one. It goes out a lot better. The Lord said, I want you over yonder. Brother, can we fast forward about 40-some years? Gospel Broadcasting has owned that station for the last almost 25 years. Amen. That station has become blessing. That other station that I was going to go on that went out good, it's not even on the air. It's not even broadcasting today. Can I tell you something right now? God knows the future, brother. God's my salvation. God's kept old Ricky Cawthorn. I'm right there in his hand. Amen. God has kept me. Thank God that he has. He's my salvation today. Amen. He's my salvation, by the way. He's my salvation. Amen. From this old world. Amen. Did you know one of these days I'm going to be leaving here? I've already said that, but he's my salvation from this old world. Why, I'm not going to live here always. Why, this old body's going to die. Why, the casket that I'm going to lay in may already be in the funeral home waiting on me. I don't know when I'm going to die. Now, I don't want to die today. I'm sort of like the fellow was that pulled the pistol out on the crowd. He asked the crowd, he is drunk. He walked in the church, said, anybody want to go to heaven? And they said, yeah. And he pulled the pistol out and said, well, let's see how serious y'all are. And somebody said, I want to go. I don't want to go on the first load. Amen. But let me say this to you. I want to go to heaven, don't you? But let me say, I don't know when I'm going, but oh, a happy day when I'm delivered from this old world. And God's my salvation. The church, the rapture is coming. You know, many times we hear a lot of things preached and we don't maybe believe the coming of the Lord like we ought to. Somebody might say, I've heard that all my life. But you know, preachers used to preach with fervor. You know what that is? With fire. And they used to preach with realness in their heart. We don't have a lot of real preaching today. We have people poking at it, preaching at things. They don't really preach. They don't want to hit nothing. They don't want to do nothing. They want everything to be real smooth and eloquent. I'm not worried about your outline and how good you can preach. I tell you what it is, how many hearts do you touch? But anyway, I had a friend of mine, Brother Noah Fry. Some of y'all might have known him. He was a dear friend to me. Brother Noah Fry died, I think, when he was 90, 91 year old. And Noah Fry said he preached one night. He said his pastor preached one night. He said him and Miss Polly just had got saved. And he said the pastor preached one night about the coming of the Lord. And he said we took that serious. He said we went home that night and stayed up all night waiting on the Lord to come. His young Christians didn't know. I mean, listen, I'm talking about seriousness. They used to preach back 50 years ago with fervor. I don't mean to keep going back, but I'm just simply saying, God is my salvation from this troubled world. Why, people are trying to figure out what's going to happen. People are trying to figure out when the Antichrist is going to come, about the mark of the beast and the monetary stuff. Listen, I'm not going to worry about all that. I'm going to preach what I need to preach of it, but I'm not going to spend my life studying about end times and what's going to happen. I'm not going to spend my entire life doing that. I got more to do than that. I got to win people to God. I got to get people saved. Amen. I mean, some of that stuff's good to understand it. But listen, I'm not going to spend my time trying to figure out what all's going to happen when the Antichrist comes. I'm not going to be here, brother. He can have this old world. I'm not worried about 666. I'm not going to be taking that. I'm gone. If you read your Bible, the church is gone before the tribulation ever starts. God is my salvation from this trouble. You ever thought about this? The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. The Bible said, he who now let will let until he be taken out of the way. When the rapture of the church comes, now the Holy Spirit will go back to Old Testament times in a sense. Under the tribulation period, the Holy Spirit will come upon men. He will not dwell in the believer. He'll come upon men and he'll work like he did in the Old Testament. But under grace, the Holy Spirit is in us. He's a restrainer of evil. How do you think America stayed a democracy for 250 years? I'll tell you how the Holy Spirit restrained sin in America. We had some preachers in the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries that were on fire for God and preached. And we had revival in this great land. And the Holy Spirit restrained him. But one of these days, he's going to stop restraining. When the church is raptured out, there'll be no Spirit of God. Can you imagine what's going to take place if there's no conviction whatsoever? You can just do anything you want to and not feel bad about it. Can you imagine what's going to happen on the face of this earth? Listen, that's going to be an awful time. Even in the tribulation period, they're going to be sorceries. That's drugs. You get that word sorcery from the word pharmakia. Where we get our word pharmacist from. Now, I'm not against pharmacists. I mean, we have to have drugs to live, right? But I'm just simply telling you, friend, today, that it's going to be, you think it's bad now. If you ain't saved, you wait till you go through the tribulation period. You wait till you get in there, brother. But God is going to deliver the church from that hour. I'm delivered. He's my salvation from this troubled world. As one fellow said, by the clouds or the clods, I'm going. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you going? I'm going. Amen. All right, now, let me show you number 3. In verse number 27, he said the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. Now, think about that for a minute. He's not only my light, not only my salvation, but he is the strength of my life. That means this, I can't, as the old songwriter said, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. You see, what I do in Christ, not in Ricky Cothran. You know, we do so much in the flesh today. I don't want to do anything in the flesh. I don't want to sing in the flesh. I don't want to preach in the flesh. It's not about self-glory. It ain't about me getting glory. It's about God getting the glory. Well, preacher, how is God the strength of my life? Let me give you a little acrostic. Let's take the word S, and I wrote down the word supernatural right here. God is the strength of my life. God, there are times in my life, and God has done it, that God has and will perform supernatural miracles. Oh, some of you deep dispensationalists, well, the day of miracles is over. Boy, you sure don't know your Bible, do you? Let me say this to you. I believe in the dispensation of the law, the dispensation of grace. I believe in different time periods in the Bible. But I also believe God's still in the miracle working business, brother. Amen. I remember a time, I've told you this on the radio, my mama, the first real test I ever had about my faith, my mama was sick. The doctor punched a hole in her, and he said, we'll have to operate on you in the morning. And I was over in Elk in North Carolina, and I bowed my head and prayed. God said, I've healed her. Don't worry about it. And I told my daddy about it, and he said, oh, he said, son, now you know she's going to have that operation. Went in there the next morning. The doc looked at her and said, Miss Cothran, everything's healed. I'm going to leave you alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you something. I know when God comes by. I told you this on the radio not long ago. I was riding to a meeting one night. The doctor had given me a bottle of antibiotics. I mean, you ought to see that bottle of antibiotics he gave me. I was riding along one night, and I thought, Lord, I can't preach like this. I mean, I'm sick. I just can't do it. And I tell you what, I began to pray right there in my car. You don't have to believe me, but God healed me right there in my car. I felt it. I knew God had touched me. I knew He'd healed me. Now, I'm not talking about some super. I'm not talking about something crazy. I'm not talking about some vision, some dream, some weird stuff. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about from the Bible. You say, well, I've never had anything happen to me like that. Well, listen, where's your faith at? I just don't believe that, preacher. That's your problem. You don't believe anything. Therefore, you can't get anything. I believe what God said in the book of James, don't you? I believe if you're real sick and you call for the elders, that's the preachers of the church and the men. I believe this. I believe you can do it. Now, there's times God's not going to heal. He don't want to. There's times, amen, the Bible said that he is of one mind. Who can turn him? Amen. But there are times that we can have supernatural things in our lives if we trust the Lord about it. I've heard preachers talk about how God sent them money when they needed it. I've heard the story of George Mueller, how that God put milk on the table that morning. He told his wife to set the glasses out for the kids, and they set the milk glasses out. Didn't have any milk, and a wagon tore up right in front of their house, and they all had milk. I've heard of all that stuff, and boy, I want that in my life. And I've seen God do it. I've seen God do some things in this ministry that is unspeakable. I've seen God do some things in this ministry that 25 years ago when we first started was unimaginable. I've seen God do it. One morning I was praying early in this ministry, and I said, Dear Lord, if you'd just send us a large donation. God said, if I did that, you wouldn't trust me. And boy, little by little, God sends things in, lets me tell. And I think about Elijah. I think about a supernatural miracle. Now Elijah goes to Ahab and tells him what he thinks about it and tells him it's going to rain, and he delivers the word of the Lord. Not his word, but the word of the Lord. And he tells him the God of Israel lives. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth in a day of Baal worship. And God took Elijah over there. Now Ahab would have killed him. And God took him over there and said, you hide by the brook. And brother, God did a supernatural miracle by that brook. Amen. Now the brook was not, in a sense was a supernatural miracle, but that was just water, drinking water. That's natural. Some things God does naturally. Now the brook was going to be the first to dry up, but that was a natural. But let me tell you where the supernatural came in. When God said, I'm going to send those ravens in the morning and the evening to bring you food. Now first of all, God fed a Jew with an unclean bird. Now you go figure that out. And then when he brought the meal to him, I believe the meal was already prepared. He didn't drop him a sack of cornbread out of the sky and say, bake it, big boy. Amen. Now, I don't know where the ravens got that food, but you know I tell the story. I just seem to believe that they got it from Ahab's table. I don't know that they did, but you can imagine Ahab and Jezebel sitting in there eating breakfast, and Jezebel all made up with her makeup on and all that stuff. All of a sudden, ah, ah, and Jezebel looks through the curtain. Here comes a dirty old bird in the window. Ahab, get that bird out of here. About that time he grabs that bowl of biscuits or whatever they had, eggs, and the Jews didn't have ham, so I don't know what they had. But he grabs one in one hand, and here comes another raven. Ah! Here comes another. Ah! The Bible said ravens, probably three or four of them, and Jezebel just a hollering. Amen. And get them dirty birds out of here. And they grabbed that food and took it over and dropped it in that man of God's lap. Now, I don't know that happened. We'll know when we get to heaven, but God did something. God fed that man every morning, every day. No doubt old Elijah's over there by the brook, and he'd hear, ah! He said, it's dinner time. Ah! It's breakfast time. Glory to God. God fed him. I don't know how many days he did it. Amen. Supernatural miracle. Hey, let me tell you something. God can do, he's the strength of my life. I wrote down the word supernatural. Then I wrote down the word trust. If he's the strength of my life, S-T-R-E-N-G-T-H, I wrote down the word trust. If God's going to be the strength of your life, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If God's going to be the strength of your life, you just got to fully trust him. Why, brother, there's things that I can't change. There's things that I can't do. There's things that I can't take care of. But I just got to leave it in the hands of an almighty God. Amen. Then I wrote down the word resources. And I thought about Elisha. I thought about Elisha over there. Boy, that old king of Syria, he's going to come after him. He said, man said, who's telling the king of Israel everything? And one fellow said, no, it ain't none of us. He said, it's Elisha. That's that prophet over there. Said, he's telling what you speak in your bedchamber. That old king, he was kind of foolish. He said, we'll just go after that old prophet. And boy, that they found out he's in Dothan, and they compassed the city. And that servant got up that morning, that young man, he looked out there, and there was all them horses and chariots. And he said, alas, master, what shall we do? And Elijah told him, don't worry about it. Said, there's more be for us than for them. And then Elisha prayed a prayer for him. He said, Lord, said, open his eyes. And God opened that young man's eyes. He saw all those chariots of fire round about Elisha. God protected his man. Brother, God's got resources. Don't you ever think God's running low. God can give you anything he wants to. I found this out. God can supply your need, even using the devil's crowd to do it. Amen. You say, well, preacher, would you take money from an old drunk? Well, you let him give it to him and see. Amen. It'll spend. It'll pay for radio time. You say, preacher, would you take money from a vile old sinner? Well, you let him give, and we'll see. It'll buy radio time. Let me say this to you, friend, that God sometimes uses. I've had people give money I know was lost. But God used their money anyway. Let me say to you that God is a God, amen, of resources. God has everything in heaven. The Bible said in Philippians chapter number 4, but my God, talking to the church of Philippi, after he gave them a lesson in missions, but my God shall supply all your need. Watch this. According to his riches in glory. You see, God's rich. I serve a great king. Now, I'm poor. I grew up poor. I often tell the story, we're so poor, on Sundays we went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, licked other people's fingers. That ain't really true, but I tell that, amen, we wasn't really that poor, but we were poor. My daddy had an old wood heater and had holes in it. He'd buy those sparklers, those fireworks, stick them in there and light them, tell us his spaceship going off. Brother, we was poor, didn't have nothing. But let me tell you something, I've never lived in a great mansion nowhere. I never have. I never have had even the kind of house that my old flesh would like to have. I never have had it. But glory to God, one of these days I got a mansion. One of these days I'm going to have one. Amen. Why? Because my God's got riches. In this old ministry here at GBI, it takes money. I say this openly. I'm not on the radio for your money. And if you think I am, you got a problem, friend. I'm not on the radio for your money. I don't care whether you ever give a dime or not. You say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. If we don't give a dime, you'll starve to death. Not on God's watch, I won't. God will raise somebody else up. You say, well, I'll never support that. I've had preachers tell me, I'll never support you. I've had them tell me to my face. It's okay. I'm not mad about it. God's been good to me all these years. God's blessed old Ricky all these years. It ain't Ricky Cawthorn anyway. It ain't about me. It's about getting the gospel out. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Unto everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of God. God's been good to me. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's got resources. Then I wrote down this word. Amen. Not only resources. But I wrote down number 4. I wrote down the word energy. I wrote down the word energy. And that means power. In 1 Kings 17:1, well, I already told you, Elijah went over and he said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth." That means fresh, flowing, green. My God's got it. My God's got power. I serve a God that, somebody said, "I just don't know what's going to happen to America." I don't either, but I serve a God that knows. Brother, I've prayed about some things. I'm not saying it's all because of my prayers, but I've seen God do things in the United States Congress. I seen God do some things a few years ago in the United States Congress. We was praying, and if you looked at it, it wouldn't have been done. And it wasn't done by conservatives either. It was done by moderates and liberals, and brother, God turned their heart. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, God can do anything he wants to, brother. Amen. God's got all power. You say, "Well, preacher, I'll come against you." Well, God'll be there. Amen. God's got all power. He's the strength of my life. You mess with me, you messing with God. You talk about me, you're talking about God. You talk about what I preach, you're talking about God. I'm preaching from the King James Bible. You better be careful how you talk about the man of God. You remember those little children? The Bible said they were little children. Remember that? Those little children. I believe they wasn't 4, 5, 6 year old came out there making fun of Elisha's bald head. Now, by the way, I don't make fun of anybody. I've had people make fun of me because I'm blind and all this stuff, and I know some of them just joking and picking. But let me tell you something. I don't make fun of people. I don't make fun of people how much they weigh. I don't make fun of them if they can see. I don't make fun of them if they can hear. That's something I ain't going to do. God made everybody like they are. Some of us may not be as good looking as others. Some of us may be more intelligent than others. And I'm just kidding about that. But I'm just what God made me. And I'll be honest, the older I get, the comfortable I get just being me. Amen. I'm not some other preacher. I'm not Stennett Blue or Oliver Green or Harold Seitler. I don't even attain to those guys. I couldn't. I'm not even worthy to go down and tie their shoe. I'm not worthy of those men. I'm Ricky Cawthorn. I'm just an old country preacher. I don't glory in ignorance. But I'll tell you what, my God's got the power. I can't, but God can. I don't, but he does. I didn't, but he did. Amen. I couldn't, but he could. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm about to shout. I mean, God's good, right? Amen. I mean, listen, he's got the power. He's got it. Not you and me. He's got it. Amen. Number 5, I wrote down nothing. I wrote down the word nothing. And then I wrote out beside of it, nothing can come against me as long as God, unless God allows it. Amen. I know I've walked all over that one, but you can't stop God. Why, friend, a man's crazy. One fellow made a statement. He said, "They'll have church in this church next Sunday over my dead body." And he went out and put a padlock on the church and put a log chain on it. That was on Sunday. He died on Tuesday. They buried him on Friday and had church next Sunday. Let me tell you something, brother. You don't get in the way of God. Nothing can stop it. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. That's why some of you preachers ought to get that courage in your church. Amen. You say, "Boy, that crowd of rebels is fighting me." Let me tell you something. If God be for you, you stick right there. You stay still. Old Bobby Robertson, he never did encourage anybody to leave anywhere. He thought you never ought to leave anywhere. And some elements of that is right. I mean, boy, he stayed with his church 60 years. Let me tell you something. I've learned some things. Amen. Now, there are times I believe a man has to leave. I believe there's times God moves me. And I know God's moved me out of some churches. I know he's moved me out of some good churches. Amen. And God said, don't, you know, you gotta go. But there are times we move on our own. And listen, don't ever move on. You will regret it the rest of your life if you move on your own. You say, "Boy, I get discouraged." Who don't get discouraged? Why, the devil tells me every day on this old radio that I'm not reaching him, I'm not doing any good. Then I'll get a letter from somebody that says, "Dear preacher, we listen to you every day." Why, preacher, I tell people not to even call me while you're on. Boy, that's a blessing. Amen. Thank God. I appreciate somebody respecting me. Amen. Well, let me tell you something right now. Amen. I want to help you. I'm on the radio to help you. And boy, I just tell you, preachers, ain't nothing can come against you. They can't do anything with you as long as God's there. Now, the day God moves his hand, you get up and go. You'll be like it was in the children of Israel, that cloud. In the book of Numbers, go study that. He said, "When the cloud remained, we stayed. When the cloud moved, we moved." Don't you move till the Spirit says move. Now, I ain't talking about some feeling. I'm talking about you'll know when it's God. Amen. I told old Joe Kowalski one day, I said, "Joe, you know, I talked to him about my plans in life." Joe said, "Preacher Rick," that's what he called me. He said, "When God gets ready for you, he's got your address and phone number." Amen. And he did. Amen. And God called me and wrote me when he needed me to go somewhere. Amen. Amen. Spiritually, I'm speaking. You know what I'm talking about. Number 6, I wrote down the word glory. God should get all the glory out of my life. It ain't got nothing to do with me. but it's God. Amen. I think about old Daniel in that den of lions, don't you? There wasn't nothing that old Daniel did. Daniel should have been eaten alive, 90-some years old, for praying, thrown in that den of lions. And the Bible was careful there not to say lion's den. They could be a lion's den without lions, but he got thrown in the den of lions. And Jesus himself came down there. God said he sent his angel. I believe it's Jesus Christ himself. Came down and said, Leo, can it, boy. Shut his mouth. Amen. Shut his mouth up. He couldn't talk no more. Amen. Old Daniel probably pulled one of them old lions up and went to sleep on him. Amen. Amen. Then those lions were so fierce when they got Daniel out and threw the other people in. They had the mastery of them. They broke every bone in their body before they ever hit the bottom. I'm just telling you that Jesus Christ, amen, he gets the glory out of it. Who got the glory? That God did. Who got the glory out of the Hebrew children walking in the fire? God. Old Nebuchadnezzar rose up and he said, I see four men loose and walking. Lo, I see four men loose and walking around in the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He didn't even know the Lord at that time. I believe he got acquainted with the Lord later. But boy, I tell you what, amen, Jesus gets the glory. I want God to get the glory out of my life. I ain't no good preacher. I've never preached a good message in my life. No, sir. I don't preach messages so I can get to go back and preach again. I don't, if you want me to come back again, that'll be up to you. Amen. I want to help you. I want the power of God on me. That's all I want. And I'm just going to be me. You say, preacher, you're so ignorant and you're pitiful and I feel sorry for you. Well, that's all right. You can listen to other things besides me if you don't want to hear me. But if you want to hear me, you're welcome to stay with me. Amen. And I just say, I want God to get the glory all the way. My sight. God made me blind. God's getting the glory out of that. It ain't nothing Ricky Cothern's doing. Amen. Now, let me give you this one. Got to move on. Number 7, I've already covered this, but I wrote down the word test. God is the strength of my life. You know why he gives us tests? So he can deliver us. Do you know why God gives us tests? Amen. So he can deliver us out of the test. Why, brother, if there was no den of lions, there'd be no deliverance from the den of lions. If there was no fiery furnace, there'd be no deliverance from the fiery furnace. If there was no ark, there'd be no delivering from the ark. God gave Abraham that test. And he called to him, Abraham, Abraham, do thy son no harm. Amen. If God hadn't to give Abraham no test, Abraham would never prove that he stood for God. Why, brother, he's the strength of your life. Don't quit when the tests come. God's the strength. He's getting glory out of that. Somebody's watching your life. I go through things sometimes, and just like I told you the story a few weeks ago on the radio, I went through the thing with the loan and the all that with the bank. Why, it wasn't glorious at the time, but God gave it to me so that he could let me share it for his glory. Then let me give you this one. That word H, I just wrote down the word help. God's the strength of my life, and I just wrote down a prayer away. God's a prayer away. The strength of your life is a prayer away. You're trying to do it on your own, lady, housewife. You're trying to figure it out on your own. Husband, you're trying to y'all trying to figure your finances out on your own. Don't do that. God's a help away. He's a prayer away. Pray to God. It's okay to go to your preacher, but it's better to go to God. You don't have to go to your preacher all the time when you learn that you can go to God. I wish people would learn. I wish Christian people learn you have an individual audience with God. Oh, preacher, will you pray for me? Don't ask the preacher to pray for anything you ain't praying for. Let me give you number 4, and I got to go. Number 4, God is, and that I just looked over in Psalm 18 for this one. In verse number 2, the Lord is. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock. He's my light. He's my salvation. He's the strength of my life, and he's my rock. A rock is for safety. A rock is for shelter. A rock is for security. Now, the Lord is my rock. Let me give you, first of all, he's my redeemer. Glory to God. Amen. There's not a rock like our rock, buddy. My Lord died. He's the smitten rock. Amen. Remember when Moses smote the rock? That's a type of Calvary. And they say that every rock, that when the rocks rent, every rock there has got a split in it. That's a type of the suffering that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Now, amen, he's my redeemer. Secondly, amen, I wrote down the word omnipotent. I can't even say that word. I'm a country boy, omnipotent. You know what that means? That means that God has all power. God has, if he's my rock, he's got all power. Brother, it ain't some of these other Mideastern religion gods that founded America. God Almighty founded America. Jesus Christ founded America. Amen. He is God. You must believe that he came, died, and rose again for your sin. It's Jesus only. It ain't Jesus plus another book. It ain't Jesus plus this and plus that and minus this and minus that. And some religions say, oh, well, he was a prophet. No, the Bible said if he confesses not that he is Christ, it said it's false spirit. Brother, let me just tell you this. He's the omnipotent one. He's the one with all power. You get a hold of that, brother. You'll shout to Chicago and back. Amen. From North Carolina. Then I want to say that I wrote down the word, see, he's Christ. That word's found 532 times in your Bible. That word means anointed one. He's my rock. He was the one sent here to die for my sin. Nobody could help me but Jesus. Mama sure couldn't help me. She took me to church, but she didn't realize I was under conviction like I was every Sunday, and maybe she did know. I don't know, but she couldn't help me. My brother couldn't help me. Me and him was very close growing up. My daddy couldn't help me. He prayed for me, but he couldn't help me. See, nobody can get saved for you. You got to do that on your own, but Christ was sent for my salvation. And then the last thing I wrote down, he's my rock, he's my king. Oh, you say, preacher, he will be king. Well, the Bible said he is the king. Yes, he's going to be king, but he's king right now, brother. He's Lord of lords and King of kings right now. Amen. Amen. I know one day he's going to rule and reign, the millennial reign. I'm looking forward to that. And by the way, he is going to be king. And all the rulers of the world, they're going to have to bow to him and accept him as Jesus Christ. He's king of the world. How about that? Brother, we're going to reign. You see, that's not, when we die, that's not all they are to life. We got the wrong idea about heaven. We've just read part of the Bible and we think when we die, all we're going to do is go up on the street of gold and shout and sing. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. You better read your Bible. There's 1,000 years before that. And we're going to rule and reign on this earth with Christ. Amen. It said all nations shall flow unto God. You say, that's just for the Jew. No, you better read your Bible. I'm going to be included in that too. Now, the Jew is going to have preeminence as far as King David. Amen. It's going to be King David's throne. And Christ is going to be their king. And I know that's deep waters, but let me tell you something. He's king, brother. You say, well, have you ever been before a king? Not in this world. But I've talked to the Lord. I've never seen him, but I sure talked to him. You say, well, I've talked to this man, that man. Well, that's good. My brother called me one day, and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm standing here talking to so-and-so. He gave a man's name, quite famous. If I called his name, you'd know who he is, famous man. I said, well, if you're talking to him, you got no business talking to me. And I hung up on him, amen. I said, I got to go. But here's the deal. Boy, I tell you what, I've never had too many famous conversations. But I've talked with the King of Glory, and he lives in my soul. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved today? Come to know him, will you? Father, take the message. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.